Wow. Oh, glory. Amen. Again, we celebrate every Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, because a glorious Savior has indeed offered to you and me an undying life. And that aspect is forever and ever and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. You know, I'm getting older. Anybody here getting older? Year goes by, years go by, days go by, months go by, years go by, years go by, days go by, months go by, years go by, whatever. However, you know what? You're never going to die. You know what? You are now sharing immortality with God. And one day that is what will become unbelievable reality to you in the aspects of what He promises in His Word. Significantly, heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But that place that is prepared is therefore a prepared people. It's for people who are preparing for it. Remember the parable of the 10 wise and five foolish virgins? Five were ready, five were not. You see, he who prepares for this life and for this life only may be wise for a moment, but they're a fool forever. He who only takes time in preparing for tomorrow or next month or another year. And maybe some of you made some resolutions. Anybody make any resolutions? Most people do. A lot of people do. But in doing that, problem is, you get to the end of the year and you'll find out how many you didn't really keep. I don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't make New Year's resolutions. I have resolved from the very beginning when I became a Christian, I resolved then what I was going to do. And the Holy Spirit wrote it into the tables of my heart. And it's there and it's alive and it's vibrant. And that gets me living every day as an undying man. The world cries out for undying. Think of all the movies and books that have been written about afterlife. The aspects of what happens when one dies. Did Job ask that question? Job says, if a man dies, will he live again? What did Jesus say? Well, Jesus said yes. He said yes, okay? The book of Revelation ends with these beautiful words. Maranatha, even so, Lord. Come. Come. So we do, and we live every day and every month, every year. But how many of you got up this morning, don't raise your hand, anticipating that this may well be the day that He would come? The trumpet will sound. The angels and all of the aspects of eternity will become a reality in every aspect of what you and I understand. A little boy went home from Sunday school class, went up to his mommy and said, Mommy, we learned this morning that God created Adam from the dust. And then we learned that when people die, they go back to the dust. Is that true? And she said, well, yes, that's what the Bible says. Well, Mommy, somebody's coming and going under my bed. You've heard the little adage about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, the Pharisees were fair because they believed in a resurrection. The Sadducees were sad because they didn't. Point is, undying life. We are living right now in immortality. You are right now immortal. You are already eternal. You already have an undying aspect of an undying God with undying promises, waiting for an undying inheritance, and that is already alive and vibrant inside of you. You are never going to die. Never, never will you ever die. Death means separation. Okay? I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about the person who lives in that body. You will never die. According to our text, Jesus alone right now, and at the point of that, possessed immortality. But the beautiful thing about this book is that God has opened the door for you to share in that immortality. His immortality, you see. That is what keeps me vibrant. What keeps me alive is because I don't care how old I get, I'm never going to die. That make sense? You know? You can die inside, you know. Some people do. They die, give up, quit. They might just as well be buried 6 foot under, I guess, in perspective to that. But I believe that as God indeed alone possesses immortality, the beautiful thing that I read and study about is how He has promised and is right now sharing that immortality with me. Every one of you. I do not cry out to die. I'm not afraid of dying. I look forward to it. For me to be absent from my body, I believe, is simply to go home. I'm just going home. Going home to be with the Lord, period. Okay, so it doesn't matter how old you're getting. Doesn't matter how many years roll by. You're getting younger every day. You're not getting older. You're actually getting younger because you're getting closer to sharing in reality immortality. Okay? Think of it. Undying life. Think about it. Revelations 1:18, "Behold, I am He who is dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." Right? When you were baptized, you were not only baptized into Jesus' death, you were buried with Him, but you were risen with Him. And you were seated with Him in heavenly places on the right hand of God. Now, do you get a picture there? You were risen from the dead. You were dead in your sin. God made you alive again in Christ. He has risen you up with Christ, seated you with Him. You're already in heaven, waiting to be revealed. And that day is going to come, right? And the aspects of that day, you see, Romans 2:7 says, "To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality." What are you seeking for? As Christians, we're seeking for that undying life that God's Word promises us. Immortality means undying, okay? That's what the word means, simply to be undying. So, as I entitled the sermon, "The Undying," the aspects of that, immortality as it is given. What God desired for you and me to understand about this forever undying. What did He plan on you being able to open this book and read and understand about it? What was His light, and what was the light He demonstrated and shared upon this undying concept that is a part of who you and me are? You and I are, and the meaning of it. What does it mean in the reference to life? What does it mean today for me to be living in an undying concept before God? What does that mean? What does that mean? What kind of life is it anyway? If Jesus said, "I've come that they could have life and have it more abundantly," what in the world was He talking about? What did He have in mind? I believe, first of all, this undying life is a life of being like God right now, sharing His divine nature in our essential nature. Now listen to me. We were all born again. And if you were born again of the water and of the Spirit, we were all born again in the same way and instituted and placed within the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Okay? If you have truly been born again, you were born again to undying life. That's what you were dead. You were dead in your sin. But God has now made you alive in Christ Jesus. You are alive. That means you are undying. You have right now inside of you an undying aspect of life. You are not going to die. You're not going to die. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Well, think about it then. What did God say in Genesis chapter 1 in the aspects of 35, 30? He said every seed will produce after its own kind. This word is the seed of the kingdom of God. When this seed was planted into your heart and it began to take root, that which is started to produce and grow up inside of you because of the seed is that God's divine nature begin to be formed in you. Jesus was begin. Paul said, I travail over you until Christ be formed in you. This little embryo, this little aspect of a seed, the seed was planted into your heart. This seed produces after its own kind. This seed is alive and active and discerner of intents and of our hearts and every aspect. God's Word is alive. That's why when you and I want to have this abundant, undying life, then God's Word has to abide in you. And if God's Word abides in you and remains in you, you are on the process of living forever. Undying. Because this seed is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It cannot pass away. It's eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You already have it planted into your heart then, an undying seed of the divine nature of God. Because the seed produces after its own kind. God is transforming you right now into His divine image. You're sharing His divine nature right now. That's what it means today, right now. Get it? Are you hearing me? You're getting a picture here. 1 John 3:9 state that one who has not sown or has not sinned, is a liar. Says they haven't, okay? But point is that if the seed abides in you, this seed abides in you, you will not perpetually, willfully live in sin any longer. Yeah, hear what I just said. It is impossible for you and me to willfully, continually perpetuate and live in sin if this word is abiding in us. Jesus said, David said in the Psalms 119, Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what he said, didn't he? So John says, if the seed, the Word of God, abides in you, you will not live in sin any longer. It is impossible. God's Word is eternal. It's undying. It's an eternal seed. It is inside of you. And Genesis 1:12 again, every seed produces after its own kind. What does this mean? It means that right now, God is in you. Your body has become the temple of the living God. And He's transforming you. He's changing you. You are sharing right now His divine nature. 2 Peter says, knowing what? Knowing that you have escaped the corruption that is in the world, lust. That you might be sharers of His divine nature. Come on, people. That's exciting. It's a new year. Well, every day you're becoming a new creature in Christ. You're becoming every day new. Neos. You're something today that didn't exist yesterday. You're more godlike today than you were yesterday, a week ago, a year ago. Whenever you started and you're born again, you have begun a process of growing, maturing, and becoming more and more and more godlike. As He has planted His seed inside of you, that seed will transform your life. And you will share and become more godlike in your nature. That's exciting to me. You know? I mean, it really is. It really is. 1 Peter 1:4, for by these He has granted us His precious, magnificent promises. Why? In order that by them, those magnificent, precious promises, you might become partakers of His divine nature. It is now in the present past tense of the Greek. That means you are already people that Peter is writing to. You are right now sharing God's eternal divine nature. Amen, brother. Think about it. Think about it. Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have done what? You have been clothed with Christ. You have now become the very aspect of one of God's children. And He's changing you into a Christ-like person. You put on Christ. So when you look at me and the people of the world look at us, who should they see? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. Didn't Paul say, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me? Is that just scripture? Is that just philosophy? Is that just theology? or is that a fact? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? The word glory means likeness, character. So if Christ is in you the hope of glory, it is a concept of continuous tense. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 18, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. These are his words, not mine. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, talking about the Jews. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. All right? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Why? Why did God set you free? God set you free so you could again obey Him and walk in righteousness because you were enslaved in that other nature of the world. Okay? God set you free from that so you could become God-like, Christ-like in your life. Listen to this. But, some people need, you know, my granddad used to say, some people think by the inch. They think by the inch and they talk by the yard and they need to be moved by the foot. Oh, well. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in mirror the glory or the likeness and nature of God, of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. Now, very quickly, the word transform is the same word that is used in Jesus when he went up into the mount and there was a transfiguration and he was changed into his glorified state. So right now, that same spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Christ, when you're looking into the mirror, the Holy Spirit takes what you see, reflects it into your mind. You then develop the mind of Christ. You begin to think Christ-like. We are what we think in our hearts. So when we start thinking Christ thoughts and that permeates into our mind and we start thinking spiritual things, then what are we going to become? What are we going to be transformed into? God-like people. This is the mind of God. You read a book and you take it and accept it as truth, you're going to be transformed into the image or the likeness of its author. You understand that? You need to be careful what you read. You need to be careful what you watch. Because not everything that you read and write is God-like. It isn't. And you accept philosophies, you accept people and ideas and concepts. And man, I've talked to Christians all over, I mean, here and there and everywhere, preaching the Bible. And I always run into people, well, I know what my Bible says. My Bible says such and such and such. Oh, really? Where did it? Where you? Well, I read this book. You read a book. Who was it by? What scripture was quoted? Well, I don't remember there being any scripture. You mean that's what this concept of philosophy was then in this person's mind? And you accepted it as truth? Then that person, you transformed you into them because you're thinking what they think. You understand? That's a danger of Christian, a danger of educational system. You know that? Huh? You know that? It really is. So when I receive the Word of God as a seed of God's Word, and I believe it is God's Word, and I accept it into my heart, and the seed is producing after its own kind, is transforming me into the same image that I see reflected here from glory, character, likeness to glory. Every day you are being renewed, transformed, changed, and every day you're becoming more like God. You are continuously in the process of sharing His divine nature. Okay? Think about it. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we sons of God, it does not yet appear in what we shall be, but we know. That when we shall see Him and He appears, we shall be like Him just as He is. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Right now, you don't have a glorified body like He does. Now you're being transformed and changed in the inner man to become more and more like Christ. You are becoming God-like. You're sharing His divine nature. But someday, when you see Him, you're going to be changed into a glorified state. And we'll see that here in a minute. Okay? So you get me? The seed is undying. The Word of God is undying. It's immortal. It's going to be here forever and ever. That seed was planted into your heart and it began to grow. And what did it do? It began to develop within you after its own kind, the divine nature of a divine God who sent His Son to show you who He is and what He's like. Okay? Got it? Secondly, in the aspects of it, we have and we share an undying life because, are you listening? Because not only have we received the divine undying seed, we have also been filled with the love of God, and God's love is undying. Did you hear what I just said? God is love. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit came, He shed abroad into your heart and mind the love of God. God's love is in you. It's in you. It's there, and it's a part of you. And the Bible says in Ephesians, by faith Christ dwells in our hearts. And that we might experience the unbelievable power of God in the inner man. And by faith that happens. Why? So we can comprehend with all the saints the love of God. The height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. As He is, so are we to be in this world. God is love. Love is eternal. It's undying. It's never going to go out of existence. There are now by faith, hope, and love, but love is eternal. Faith is going to pass away someday. Someday hope will not be a reality. Reality will be reality. But love is eternal. And what did God pour into your heart? Love. How did it come to you? By the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. So the seed, the undying seed, abides in you. You have this undying, immortal aspect of God. His seed, His Word is eternal. You also have within you this undying love of God. It is in you. And you accept that love and aspect that love. Romans 5 says that it is that hope which does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It is power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And what is it doing? It's transforming us into what? The divine image of God. And God is what? God is love. Didn't Jesus say the world will know you're my followers, my disciples, by the way you what? By the way you love one another. This way, okay? 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death. We know we have passed out of dying into life, immortality. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Did you hear that? So if you love God's people, we love one another, but through the love of God poured into our hearts in the Holy Spirit, then we have passed out of the dying into the undying, and we have been passed out of that into immortality. You are already an immortal being living in a physical body, but you're eternal. You will never be separated from God. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 8? Not death, no principalities, powers, nothing can separate us from what? From the love of God. Get it? Are you hearing that? How's that have an effect on the now? Then you ought to be living like a non-dying person. People meet you, they ought to meet a person who's vibrant, who's alive, who's well, who has his life in the hands of an eternal God, who lives like an eternal being, that you're never going to die, you're going to live forever. Man, that's exciting to be an eternal person and know that as true and accept it as true in every aspect of it. But not only is that true, but in reality, you also have an undying body. Now, you stay with me, okay? In heaven, this undying life will have an undying immortality of a body. right? I don't want to just go there, but you know what 1 Corinthians 15 is, the resurrection chapter, right? And what does the Bible say? That this body is planted perishable, but it is raised imperishable. It is raised temporary. It is raised eternal. It is raised physical. It's raised spiritual. You know that when you became a Christian and you became and were immersed into Christ, you just gave Him your body. The blood of Christ redeemed your body. It now belongs to God. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It's God's possession. Did you know that? And that your body is to be used to glorify Him. Okay? And the aspects of that. And someday, when Jesus comes and we hear His voice, what is He going to have? He's going to redeem your body. He's going to redeem it. Okay? He's going to redeem it. And the aspect of undying is the fact that you and I already have our bodies eternal. It's just a temporary aspect where it's going to go back to the dust. But there will be a day then when it is planted and you're not going with it, okay? For you to die is to go and to be with the Lord, waiting for the day that God comes and redeems our body and we're resurrected. That body is resurrected and changed from the physical to the spiritual, from the immortal to the eternal. To the mortal to the eternal, immortality, okay? So death is sake in Christ is the aspects of you and me knowing that, again, Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? How many say yes? Amen? This is a new year. But every year just gets you closer and closer and closer. How many of you know you're growing up in Christ? How many of you know that you are not what you were a year ago in Christ? That you have grown. You have spiritually been transformed. You have certain elements of your mind that has become more and more spiritual. Your nature has become more godlike. And you have no craving and desire for sin to rule and master in your physical body anymore. You want to be like Jesus. You want to have and be like God. You want not only to have His Word. And the only way this Word is going to abide in you, you got to study it. Study yourself, to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study the Word of God. What's going to happen? We're going to look into the mirror. The Holy Spirit who inspired the book will take what you see and He will transform it. Not on tables of stone, but He will write it into the tables of your heart. And you will be transformed into the very element of Christ. You will become Christ-like in your very nature. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Right here it is. You read it, you think it, you process it, you act upon it, and you will become a Christ-like person. There are too many people who read the Bible and they'll, well, I know that's true, but. And then they wonder why they still feel dead inside. I don't feel dead inside. People say, where in the world did you get all your energy? I'll tell you where I get my energy. Comes from God. The Bible says, I stand strong in the strength of the Lord. He is my strength. He is my refuge. He is my helper. And God, if He wants me to live 120 years and preach His Word, He can do that. I believe it. And I'm not going to stop living because I'm alive forevermore. I've been raised up with Him. You understand what I just said? If Jesus is not going to taste death, he's alive forevermore, so am I. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. I'm going to live and live and live and never going to die. Never going to die. That's an unbelievable promise. And you know that your inheritance is eternal. But what are you living for crying out loud? What is the ultimate thing that gets you up every day? You ever read about putting on the full armor of God and that you put on the helmet of salvation? You ever read that? So where's your mindset? Oh yeah, Colossians 3:1 says, if you have been risen up with Christ, then set your mind on those things are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Why would I set my mind on things above? That's where I am. That's where my heart is. If Jesus is on the right hand of God, and I'm baptized into Christ, and I'm a part of His body, where's His body? Who is He? Where is He? Well, right now, He's on the right hand of God, so where am I? Where are you? You're already on the right hand of God. Get it? Waiting for what? For God's day to take the veil off to the world. And God's going to unveil all of the saints from beginning to the end. All of those who have saved. In fact, if I understand Scripture correctly, you're coming with Him to judge the world. Okay? Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? You are given God's promises to become like Him so that you could receive an undying inheritance that's imperishable, reserved for you. It's there waiting. And that's what gets you up every day, and that's what you should be living for, is eternal life. Because you're an eternal being. That makes sense? You're undying. So why would you not be anticipating that eternal life? Okay? If you want to change 2017 into a life, a year where you really experience God in His fullness, and that's what He wants, then understand what He has done and where you are in the now. Not what you're going to have 20 years from now. I don't know. Maybe before I get home, God will tell. I don't have no idea. But I don't live for this world. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, that's where everything is. My heart is already with the Lord. I want to go home and whatever He decides. If He gives me another day, I'm going to continue to live in an undying state. I'm not going to let that element ever pass out of my mind. 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Amen? Forever, 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 forever. Immortality. Undying. God bless you. Have a blessed 2017. But realize where you are now. You're alive in Christ. You're alive. Every day is a new day. If God is at work in your life, every day is a new day. And you can anticipate God bringing new blessing, a new understanding, new enlightenment from His Word, and continuing the process of transforming you into a new creature, a new Christ-like being, day by day by day. People, that's what I live for. That's my life. I want my wife to see Christ. I want her to see God. My daughter right now is seeking God like she's never seeking Him before. And how is she going to see Him? I said, how is she going to see Him? The only way people can see God is through the body of Christ, the church. She's got to see God in me, the hope of glory. You understand that principle? Huh? The only way. I mean, there's no other way. That's who we are. We're the body of Christ. And we're here to demonstrate, to live, and exemplify the Spirit of God Himself. And to love one another like God has loved us. And to keep our lives alive and well in every aspect, spiritually speaking. Okay? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there may you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus rebuked him, but simply said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know how many people out there think somehow they're going to go to heaven because they're good and never acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, never have been obedient to His commands, and been buried in Christian baptism so that they could rise to walk in a new life, risen up with Christ. You see, as children then here today, are you listening? Are you listening? As children of an undying, immortal God, you are now sharing His dying divine nature. That through His undying love, which is in you, you will receive an undying body to enjoy forever and ever in this undying inheritance. Did I put it together for you? I hope so. Because all the way, my Savior leads me. All the fullness of His love. Perfect rest for me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. May He lead you in 2017. He's the shepherd. We are His sheep. We know His voice, and His sheep follow Him. Amen. 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 Come alive. You're alive. You really are. And God has really blessed us a lot in our lives together, and we just need to keep right on living, right? Huh? I don't care how old you are. Think of who God used. Moses, how old was he? Noah, how old was he? How old was Abraham when he received the call? How old was he? You see, I've had old people say, well, I'm just too old. God can never use me. Isn't that amazing? God always used old people. If you want to say old, okay. So as long as I can live and as long as I can breathe, there's three things I can do. I can share the Word of God that abides in me. I can, that's eternal. I can share the love of God that is in me by loving people. Amen. Huh? Can I do that? Can I? Can't you always, no matter how old you are, even though you may be bedridden, those people come in. My grandmother, people came from all over, New York, you name it. She was way up north, bedridden for 20 years, rheumatoid arthritis. She's the one that planted Jesus in my heart. They came from all over the place. They came to visit my grandma Wolfgang, crippled, couldn't even do anything. He had to feed her, had to put her on the pan. I remember granddad and them trying to lift her and all the things that she did. You know, but as I got older, I began to realize they didn't come to see grandma. They came because they knew when they left grandma, they would be different people. My grandmother preached to them. She shared God's love with them. It's amazing how they left, and when they left, they felt a lot better, more alive, more vibrant than they were when they walked in the door. Because grandma never stopped living. She is the one that took my little hand when I was 7th grade, pulled it up to herself, and she's, you know, she had talked to me, and I talked to her about God. I don't know how many times I'd read the Gideon Bible by that time, but she just took my hand, pulled it up to her. I'll never forget, she had little tears in her eyes, and she said, Billy? I said, yes? She says, you're going to be a preacher someday. She planted a seed. Right? Did it come alive? Did I believe it? No. I couldn't even get up and give book reports in high school. I'd get up in front of kids and I'd break out in cold sweats and forget everything I had learned. My mind would go blank. The teacher had to come up and set me down. It's okay, Billy. It's all right. We'll try again. The first time I preached the Word of God at Ferris Church of Christ for sunrise service, I never missed a beat. I preached it. Probably too long. But I preached it. You know what the difference is? I believe what I'm preaching. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. It's alive. It's in me. It's vibrant. It's what I live for, what I'm willing to die for. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me that I could share immortality with Him. Amen. 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 Let's stand together as we sing a song together. Because He lives, I can do what? I can face tomorrow. Because He what? Lives. I can face tomorrow. Okay?